WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. For something, and you want to get the devil back, do it like this. Bam! In your face, devil! That's right. Come on now. That's how you do it. Now, if you're really excited, go bam! In your face, devil! Today on this Tuesday, this is Dr. June Knight. Bam in your face, devil. I'm so excited about these Bible studies, Bride. Let me tell you, I am fired up with what God is showing us in our nation and in our own personal lives. We are right in the middle of Exodus. We're studying the judgment coming to Egypt. All right, we discovered yesterday how God heard the cries of his people crying out to him, and then he saw. So he heard, then he saw. Then he reported to his servant. He always tells and warns before judgment comes. And then he told him what he was going to do and how he was going to do it and what he was supposed to do during it. But Moses, because he was so scared, thinking he was not equipped to do all this, he started whining to God and saying, oh, I can't do this, I can't speak well, or whatever. So God had to give him Aaron, and God got mad at him about it. But anyways, today we're starting off in chapter 6. Now, where we left off yesterday is they had just told Pharaoh what is coming, and Pharaoh's like, I'm not doing nothing. No, you're not doing that. So right now we're at the beginning of all this that's about to take place in Egypt. So we're in some very exciting scriptures. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for what you're showing us in your word, Lord. Bring it to life today. Holy Spirit, have your way. Teach us, lead us, and guide us into all the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Bride, here we go. Remember, I like the King James, and then I do the YouVersion app is where you hear the little man. All right, let's start off. Exodus 6.
Exodus 6. And the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord.
Wow. Wow.
I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. And I've also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments.
All right, pause. I just caught on to something, Bride. I sure did. One of God's characteristics. All right, let's continue on.
I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians.
Bride, I'm sorry. I know what I was telling you now. Okay, so I was telling you about the characteristics of judgment. Okay, of God's heart. Listen to this. Did you notice that God tells them twice when he talked to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's telling them about how he's going to bless them and what he's going to do? He always tells them twice. And that's what he's doing right here. Let's look at this. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, telling them what to say, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Isn't that something, Bride? And I just want to tell you, I feel the same way about America. I feel like God is saying that to us here in America, that he is our God. He gave us this land to worship him in spirit and in truth. This is our promised land, America. A land flowing with milk and honey. This is our promised land. Let's keep going.
And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.
Yes.
And I will give it you for an heritage. I am.
This is our heritage.
And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel. But they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit, and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel, and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. These be the heads of their fathers' houses, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, Hanok and Palu, Hezron and Carmi. These be the families of Reuben, and the sons of Simeon, Jemuel and Jamin, and Ohad and Jachin, and Zohar and Shaul, the son of the Canaanitish woman.
Remember that
these
one?
Are the families of Simeon, and these are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generations, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. And the years of the life of Levi were 137 years. The sons of Gershon, Libni and Shimei, according to their families, and the sons of Kohath, Amram and Izhar, and Hebron and Uziel. And the years of the life of Kohath were 133 years. And the sons of Merari. Levi.
They're going through all the genealogy.
These are the families of Levi according to their generations. And Amram took him, Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses.
Aww.
And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. And the sons of Izhar, Korah, and Nepheg, and Zichri. And the sons of Uziel, Mishael, and Elzaphan, and Zithri. And Aaron took him Elisheba, daughter of Aminadab, sister of Nashon, to wife, and she bare him Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And the sons of Korah, Asir, and Elkanah, and Abiasaph. These are the families of the Kohites. And Eleazar, Aaron's son, took him one of the daughters of Putiel to wife, and she bare him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers of the Levites according to their families. These are that Aaron and Moses, to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. These are they which spake to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moses and Aaron. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me?
Saying it again, doubting again, what the world? Help us, Jesus. Okay, we're on chapter 7, Brad.
Exodus 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them.
All right, pause. You know, that's one thing that we're learning about judgment, Bride, is how judgment will bring people back to the Lord. It will bring the fear of the Lord back. And when we examine our nation, you know, that's one thing we have to consider, is that we don't have the fear of the Lord here anymore, even in the church. I mean, look how people do. They'll come dressed very disrespectful. They'll act disrespectful. They don't respect the man of God while he's preaching. You know what I mean? There's just like no fear of the Lord. And especially when you look at the media, the way that they mock his name, the mainstream media, the way the Hollywood mocks him and the television. I'm telling you, this judgment that's coming is going to cause them to fall on their face. And they're going to respect God and fear him. So just notice that, Bride, how this happens.
And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh.
That is in their 40s.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, and thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent.
Okay, pause. Now notice what God is doing here, Bride. He did not leave Moses. He is guiding him on the way. We do not have to fear either. God will lead us and guide us on the way. Amen. We don't have to fear, Bride.
And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh.
Verse 10.
And they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. But they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods.
All right, pause. In other words, these enchanters, these diviners, these occultic people, they could do signs, miracles, and wonders as well, Bride. What do you know about that? Remember, I've been teaching you, we cannot judge a ministry by signs, miracles, and wonders. You can't. You have to judge them by the fruits. Why? Because even the devil does signs, miracles, and wonders. Since I have been bringing out New Age and all these other religions, did you know they do healings too? Let's pass the energy. Pass the energy. That's New Age. And we have a lot of the churches doing that. But anyways, the point is, it's showing you here how even they could do these things. But his devoured there because his is the Most High God's.
And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, but he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand.
So he's leading him by the way and telling him,
the Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood.
Okay, let me just say this, Brad. He, you know, one thing we've learned about God is, have all of his judgments been the same? No. Why is that? Because God likes diversity. He likes to do things differently. That's why this great judgment that's about to take place will not be like the other ones. And when we operate in the miracles, signs, and wonders, we cannot do what we've done before. God's not going to do that. He wants to be unique. So if he tells us as prophets, if he says, I want you to take a piece of your hair and I want you to flick it to the west, you know, and I'm going to cause a great tornado to come from that piece of hair. You know, whatever, just something crazy, whatever God tells us to do, we have to be willing to obey. Up until this time, have we seen it in Scripture yet where God told them, take a rod and throw the rod and it'll turn into a snake. Go to the river and it will turn to blood. You see what I mean? We have to listen to the Lord. He will lead us and guide us through this. Let's keep going.
And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall learn to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone.
Wow, listen, Brad, something just came to my spirit. Right here in verse 18 where it says, and the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink the water of the river. Because thus saith the Lord, in this shalt thou know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which is in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And then it's going to cause them to stink. Wow.
And Moses and Aaron did so, as the Lord commanded.
So they obeyed.
And smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood.
Ooh, can you imagine, Brad?
And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt.
Man.
And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said.
Wow.
And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged around about the river for water to drink, but they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled. After that, the Lord had smitten the river.
Man, okay, here we go. Now we're in chapter 8.
Exodus 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses.
Here we go.
Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs.
Can you imagine frogs? Oh my goodness.
Which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy
goodness.
Table, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy
servants.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and said, entreat the Lord, that he may take away the frogs from me, and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee, and for thy servants, and for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee, and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. And he said,
tomorrow.
Give me to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God.
Oh.
And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only.
Wow.
And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs, which he had brought against Pharaoh.
Wow.
And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields.
Pause a minute. Hold on a minute. Wait a minute. Let's go back. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched forth his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. And the magicians did so with their enchantments. See, they did the same thing, and brought up frogs upon the land. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord, which means please intercede, that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee, and for thy servants, and for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? Like, why should I do this? And he said, tomorrow. And he said, well, be it according to your word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. Bam, in your face, devil. When God uses us to operate in signs, miracles, and wonders, and he tells us, I want you to go over to this river, and I want you to cast this ink pen into the river, and I'm going to cause it to rise up 20 foot high and overtake this building. You know, just whatever the crazy things is that God says. Whenever we do that, and people come back looking at us, please have God stop. Bride, be warned right now. Be careful not to take the glory. Nothing we do is within our own merits. It's all Him. So immediately, God have all the glory. That's God doing that, not me. I'm just obeying Him. I'm just a servant. I'm merely a voice and a servant. We have to be careful in this judgment coming, bride, not to take the glory. Okay? So I just feel led to say that by the Spirit. We cannot take the glory. Because that's what's happening right here. There is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, from thy servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. So in other words, he made a deal with Pharaoh. And he was able to answer Pharaoh like that. And say, okay, tomorrow. And God honored his word. Remember God said, I'm going to make you like a god unto Pharaoh. And when you speak, in other words, what you speak is going to happen. So then after this, Moses went back and interceded and cried to the Lord, Lord, this is what they ask. Will you please stop this tomorrow? And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. He honored Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them upon heaps, and the land stank. Ooh, can you imagine? But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Wow. Can you imagine, Brian, being Moses? After you making a deal with him and him saying he's going to do it, and then you turn around and you pray and plead to the Lord and God does it, and then he still turns around and hardens his heart. How would you feel as a prophet? Wow, this is going to be interesting.
And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened
when
his
he
heart
got a break,
and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch out thy rod, and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt.
All right, Brian, don't you think it's funny that God is still talking to Moses? And then Moses is the one speaking to Aaron. You know, God could have just bypassed Moses. You know, he could have just said, All right, Aaron, Moses is chickening out, so I'm going to use you, Aaron. But no, he still honored Moses. So now we're going into the lice plague.
And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt.
Wow.
And the magicians did so with their enchantments to
see,
bring forth lice.
They did the
but
same.
They could not, so there were lice upon man and upon beast. And the magicians said unto Pharaoh,
They couldn't.
This is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said.
All right, let's catch on. I wonder why they couldn't do the lice. They could do all the others, even the frogs. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not, so there were lice upon man and beast. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, This is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Wow. It didn't change
anything. The Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are.
Wow.
And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there.
Wow.
To the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth.
Wow.
And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be.
Wow. Remember, Goshen is the land that Pharaoh gave all the ones of Jacob and Israel and his family. Wow. So God is saying, I'm going to plague everybody else but that land. Wow.
And the Lord did so. And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies.
Man.
And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only, ye shall not go very far away, entreat for me. And
wow.
Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more, not letting the people go to sacrifice
wow.
to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The
Lord honored him again.
And removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one.
Wow.
And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go.
Brad, I can just imagine what you're sitting here thinking. Why in the world does God keep doing all this? God's the one hardening his heart. I prayed about that for a long time. But you know what I think, Brad? It's to show us the ending generation. That God will be with us no matter what hits the earth. And remember this, Brad. God always tells us what he's going to do. So why should we fear? We can trust the Lord no matter what he does. That's what this is. Showing us God's character and how we can trust him. Amen. All right, Brad, let's continue. Chapter 9.
Exodus 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, and tell him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. But if thou refuse to let them go, and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel.
Wow!
And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land.
Wow!
And the Lord did that thing.
Wait a minute, Brian. We just noticed the day before that God separated Goshen. He said, All this is going to come upon your people, but it's not going to touch them. Wow! Wow. And that is what he is saying right here. Oh my goodness, about the cattle. The cattle of Egypt versus the cattle of the Israelites. Remember when they came over, when they came with all their abundance, and that Pharaoh was so happy that Jacob had came, Israel had came with all this cattle. All right, and now, oh my goodness. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is in the children of Israel. That is the favor of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord in the midst of judgment. I believe that's for us, Bride. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. Let's see what happens, Brian.
Tomorrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one.
Aww.
And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go.
All right, pause. I just want to... I had a dream pop in my head that I had one time. And I'm telling you, Brian, this stuff is coming to the church. I was walking down this highway with this man, and I forgot what we was doing, but it was with a bunch of traffic beside us, and all of a sudden, this herd of cattle, you know, a bunch of them, I don't know, hundreds or thousands, but they came walking across, and it stopped all the traffic, and everybody was getting out of their cars like, what the world, you know? I mean, they were just walking across the highway and minding their own business. But all of a sudden, one cattle fell. One. They fall over dead just like this, all over. And then all of a sudden, every one of them went and fell dead in front of everybody. And all of a sudden, that man that I was with got a phone call. He had his phone in his pocket. And he pulled the phone out, and they told him that it was happening all over the world, that cattle was falling over dead just like this. All of a sudden, me and this man turned around and said, "Thus saith the Lord, this is the judgment of the Lord. Repent and be saved today. Your redemption draweth nigh, saith the Lord." And when he was prophesying that judgment had arrived, and that's what this was. And then I woke up. I'm telling you, Bride, we are about to experience some of the wildest things. And we cannot dismiss them. We have to let God be God. Remember, I told you, Bride, there's going to be great, great suffering in the earth. Great suffering in the earth. We have to be willing to obey the Lord in the midst of the great suffering. We can't help every single person or we'll not be able to obey the Lord. We're going to have to go straight on the narrow path obeying the Lord, whatever he tells you to do. All right, let's keep going. That's what Moses is doing.
"And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt.
Wow.
And shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh. And Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven. And it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast."
All right, Bride, did you catch on to how God is having them do something different every time? That's what he's going to do. Even if it sounds crazy, is take ashes and throw them up in the air.
"And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians.
Wow.
And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses."
All right, now we're on verse 13.
"And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants,
wow,
and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth.
God is
for
showing
now,
out.
I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth."
Wow. That is what I hear the Lord saying to us right now, Bride. Wow. Let me write that down. That is a great scripture. Okay, so that's Exodus 9, verse 16. Wow. He is saying, and in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and, hold on just a moment, I gotta turn the page, in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. That's one thing I want to say right now, Bride, about this revival coming, this judgment / revival. Remember, they're going to be at the same time. Nobody's name will be famous but God. It's not going to be like in the past where it's through one person. Wow. Let's keep going.
"As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field. For upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die."
Wow, so he's telling them, listen, this hail is going to come and destroy all the cattle. Hide them. Get them and hide them. Isn't that awesome how God is about protection? We do not have to fear. We have to listen, and we have to obey.
"He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses.
And he that all right, pause, because that right there is verse 20. And he says, he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. They knew this great, horrible thing was about to come out of the sky. So they gathered everything they had and put them in the houses, even some of the servants of Pharaoh. Isn't that amazing? They knew what was coming.
The Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Lord.
All right, let's pause. He that feareth the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. That's like when the word has been spoken about judgment and people will not listen. And they're going to be caught in the middle of the wrath, in the middle of the judgment, because they will not listen. But those that hear and have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church will be ready. Come on now.
Son of Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt.
Verse 22.
Upon man, and upon beast, and upon every herb of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt.
Whoa! Oh, let me check this out again. Let me examine this. And the Lord said to Moses, now look, bride, how the Lord is leading him through every one of these. Is this not amazing? And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth your hand towards heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. Wow. Wow.
So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous.
Okay, so, and Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire, ran along upon the ground. What do y'all think that is? Wow. Wow. Think about that, bride. Was in the field both, and the hail smote every and break. Oh, I mean, here we go. So there was hail. Okay. And Moses stretched forth his rod towards heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Wow. You talking about a judgment. Wow. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree in the field. I'm thinking of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember when hail came out of the sky, raining fire and brimstone? Wow.
Such as there was, none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation.
Wow.
And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field.
Oh.
Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail.
Oh, bam! In your face, devil! It did not happen in Goshen, now did it? Which means God will protect his own. Yes, he will. And then, bride, look at this, in case you didn't catch on. All right. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree in the field. Now, I just want to say something, bride. Did you know that the trees have a relationship with God? Did you know that? Did you know that the mountains clap their hands to God? the trees clap their hands to God. They worship the Lord. Now, I just want to cry thinking about this. But I'm learning, Bride, I'm learning this word with you, okay? I feel like God is literally taking me back in time to have me experience this word so that it goes deep into my heart. And I pray that it does you too. When there is sin in the land, when there is sin in the camp, the very ground has to answer to God for that. The trees have to answer to God for that. The grass has to answer to God for that. For the sins of the people. That's why, think about it, Bride. This is profound. When God curses the land and says, nothing shall ever come on this land again. It is cursed forever for what you have done. That land is accursed. In the other judgments of Sodom and Gomorrah, because of what happened with this grievous homosexuality and sodomy and all the other sexual perversion that was taking place in Sodom and Gomorrah, that was so grievous to God that He sent the hellfire and brimstone and just literally burned that place and destroyed everything in it and everything it touched. Remember I told you, Bride, touch not the unclean thing. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, ears, what you hear. Hands, what you touch. Feet, where you walk. When I consider what just happened here, this land where those poor trees that praise the Lord had to take on the sins of their people there and what their Pharaoh, their king, had done, and they're having to burn alive and the grass. I know you think, some of you may think this woman is out of her mind, but you read this word. You read this word. You see how God's creation is and how He feels about His creation. I just want to cry right now. Because when I consider the United States of America, this flag right here, when I consider my country and what we have done to a holy God, it is not funny, Bride. It's not funny at all. When the sin of our country has deposited onto our trees and our grass and our dirt and our land, we have affected all that. It's going to have to answer for what we did. We're the ones bringing this upon them. Wow. But to the righteous, the land of Goshen was protected. The land of Goshen did not get touched by fire. Wow. Those trees were blessed because of the blessing of the righteous. I'm telling you, Bride, we need to pay attention to these things. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hell. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. All right, let's keep going here, Brad. This is good stuff.
And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron, and said unto them, I have sinned at this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go.
Okay, now let's examine this a minute, Bride. Let me pause here. Do we not hear a different Moses in this comment? Let's consider this a minute. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. What does that mean, bride? I have repentance. Before you can turn from your wicked ways and change, you have to repent. You have to know what you've done. You have to get real with God and say, I have done this, like we did with the 40-day idols. We got real with God and said, we did this. Amen. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous. I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, which means intercede for me, please. For it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail. And I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer.
But the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease. Neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's.
Uh-oh. Confirm what I just said. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how the earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. Wow.
But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God.
Wow.
And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh, and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord. And the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more, and hardened his heart.
Oh my goodness.
And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses.
Oh man. All right, chapter 10, bride. Here we go.
Exodus 10. And the Lord said unto Moses,
more instructions.
Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart, and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son, and of thy son's son, what things I have wrought in Egypt.
Pause. That right there just told us why he is hardening the hearts. Wow. That thou mayest tell the ears of your son, and of your son's son, what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know how that I am the Lord. In other words, your story is for His glory. Everything that happens, whether we're a slave, whether we're beaten, whether we're cast into prison, whether we are forced to go through all the judgments and forced to go through all this, whatever give God glory is let His will be done. Amen.
And my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else,
now we're in verse 4.
If thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into thy coast.
Oh man, now it's locusts.
The face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped,
man,
which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field.
Poor trees.
And they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers.
Pause. This one they cannot run and hide from. That's what he's saying. They will come in your house. They will come to you. Wow.
Nor thy father's fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth.
Wow, wow, wow.
And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, How long shall this man be a snare unto
Kindly
us?
Kindly they're pleading.
Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go, serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence.
Man.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt, and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt. And the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts.
Oh, man, I just got to pause. Bride, have you ever been in a swarm of locusts? Have you ever seen it? I did a video one time in Nashville when they was in Nashville. Oh, my goodness. It sounds like an army coming. They are so loud. It's like, I mean, it's, can you imagine though being in these days? And all night long you heard the winds go, shh, and then all of a sudden here they come, this army of locusts coming. Can you imagine the fear on the people? Oh, I just can't imagine. I really can't.
Went up over all the land of Egypt, and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such.
Man.
For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened.
Ugh.
And they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees, or in the parts of the field, through all the land of Egypt.
Poor trees.
Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you.
Repentance again.
Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God, that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh, and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts, and cast them into the Red Sea.
Wow.
There remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt.
You know what that reminds me of, Brian? When it, that's the second verse that I saw that says, There not remain not one locust. And what did he say about the frogs? There not remain one frog. When God does something, he does it with such excellence. Such excellence. Wow. This is amazing, bro.
But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Verse 20.
So that he would not let the children of Israel go.
Man.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt.
Woo-hoo.
And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days.
Man.
But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings.
Oh, come on now. The children of Israel had light. The rest of them was gross darkness. Gross darkness. Wow, wow, wow. Bride, I just had an epiphany. I was looking through my files the other day, and I am going to show you this. What did I do? Where is it, Holy Spirit? Help me to remember. Where is it? Let me pause this. I'm going to find something. One moment here. I'm back. Yay! I found it, Bride. I found it. Okay, let me show you. All right, 5 years ago, I was in a prayer meeting in Clarksville, Tennessee. Well, it's almost five, a few months away. But I was there with intercessors in that city, and the lady that was leading it up said, okay, I want all of y'all to pray in the Spirit, and then I want you to draw on this notebook what you see in the Spirit. And remember, this is when Obama was still president, and I want you to draw what you see in the Spirit. Just pray in tongues. So let me show you what I draw, Brad. It's going to be hard for you to see, but I just want you to see a little bit of it. Okay? Let's see if I can have it this way. Okay, I'm going to tell you what this is. I saw Obama up on a... Oh, my goodness. Olympic stand. And he was on the gold, and then there's the silver and the bronze. Obama was up on the gold, and he had a double-edged sword coming out of his mouth. And on the silver one was an eagle representing America, and on the bronze was the bear representing Russia. The sword was going out to both sides, and I knew in this vision that I had when I was praying in tongues that it was like a double-edged sword, like double-tongued devil type of deal. Okay, now all around him, I saw all types of things happening. Pestilence, earthquakes, natural disasters, bombs going off, tidal wave, lightning, a tsunami wave coming, tornadoes. You know, all these natural things happening all around him, right? Okay, and then I saw underneath the Olympic stands, which are right here, is a dome, okay? I saw a dome, and underneath the dome was plush green grass with shiny gold crosses, okay? And then above Obama, like this, was a plush green grass with the Israeli flag in the middle. Now, they was in a dome of protection. So, the way that this was interpreted to me is this. Is that when this judgment comes, okay, the children of God will be protected in this dome of protection. The shiny gold crosses inside the plush green grass is the wealth. Wealth. Go shiny gold well, shining bright in the midst of the darkness, all the things that are happening in the middle. And on the top is Israel, protected as well. Plush green grass. So, I wanted you to see this because I think this is a lot with what's happening today. Okay? With the children of Israel and with our Bible study today. And look, Billy Graham just died. I just believe that is such a prophetic thing about the judgment coming to America. I really do, Brad. Well, let's keep going here.
And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds.
Verse 24.
Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind.
Wow.
For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither.
In other words, he was not playing around with Pharaoh. He's like, when the children of Israel go, they're taking everything they own with them. Their cattle and all that they own are going with them. Wow. So he was done
Moses
with him.
Said, thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again. No more.
Okay, now we're in chapter 11, the last chapter.
Memphis. Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence.
Oh, wow, he's telling him.
He shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold.
So he's giving him instructions. Remember, God told him from the beginning, if you don't let my son go, the children of Israel, I will take your firstborn. Now the judgment has arrived unto his firstborn. So Moses is given the judgment. He's declaring what's happening. And he said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out in the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits on the throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beast. Everything that is attached to Pharaoh. Remember, bride, I keep saying this, touch not the unclean thing. Everything attached to that will be judged.
Nor shall be like it anymore. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue.
What?
That ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between Egyptians and Israel.
Wow! Wowee! But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. Wow. Against man or beast. Wow. You will know that the Lord puts a difference between Egypt and Israel. And that is about what to happen in the earth, bride. Wow. This is a reflection of what's coming, bride.
And all these thy servants shall come down unto me, and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee. And after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land.
Aw, well, bride, we have to end this today with this right here. But look, so we're right here before the Passover happens. How exciting. We get to start tomorrow with the Passover. But how amazing is that, that we have learned in this Bible study that God will separate between Egypt and here. And bride, this is so key to what's happening in our country, because God is telling us, get out of Egypt. Get out. Quit partnering with the unclean thing. Quit touching the unclean thing. We don't want Egypt inside the church. God's about to judge the church because we brought too much Egypt in. Does not these Bible studies tell us God's heart about Egypt? Why would God want us to bring it in the church? No, he does not. He doesn't want Egypt in the church. He doesn't want the world in there. And these emergent church ecumenical movement people out here telling you that we need to do that to lure the people to Christ is a lie from the pits of hell. What is God saying in his word? Nothing trumps his word. And his word says, you keep yourself pure, I will protect you. Don't touch the unclean thing. Don't have anything to do with it. Don't flirt with it. Don't mess with it. Nothing. Let me pray for you, bride. Lord, I just want to hold this word up to heaven and thank you so much for your word today, Lord. Teaching us about your judgment, Lord. Teaching us about your heart. Teaching us why you want us to remain pure and why you want to separate your people, Lord. We know judgment is here in America, Lord. Help us to let go of this mess and the shenanigans we have partnered with, Lord. And help us to grab onto the tree of life right now, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're teaching us in the Word. Thank you for burying it deep in our heart and giving us these tidbits of revelation. We give you praise and glory today. Lord, help all of your people out there, Lord, so that they will see with their spiritual eyes, not just their natural eyes, but their spiritual eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Bride, love you and see you.